And we're going to begin at 27. Let's read together 27, 28, and 29, starting with 27. It hath pleased them verily, and their letters they are, for the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things. Their duty is also to administer unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed their transgressions, I will come to you unto Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. All right, okay. It's 27, 29. Yeah, I think we stop right there, yeah.
Yeah, 29.
All right, Jill, how are you doing? Let's see, we're in Romans chapter 15, Jill. Romans 15, we're in verse 27. 15, 27. All right, verse number 27. But please them verily. What does verily mean? Any hands on that? What does verily mean? Hands on it. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Truly,
that's right. And Tammy.
I was gonna say
truly. Is fine. That's right. So it's pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are. Now, who's the them refer back to in verse 27? Any hands on that? Who does the them refer back to? Any hands on that? Yes, Sam.
Got to be the Gentiles and the believers in Rome, because he's talking about the believers in Rome ministering to the believers
okay.
in Jerusalem.
What else might it be? Any other hands on that? 27. What's it refer back to the them? What does verse 26 say? Who are they referring to in verse 26? Tammy?
There's a Macedonian Achaia.
Okay, so either might be correct, but probably the one preceding. Them, please them verily, their debtors they are. What does it mean to have to be a debtor? Any hands on that? What does it mean to be a debtor? Yes, Joe.
To owe somebody something?
To owe somebody something, that's right. And what are some of the things that maybe people owe things to be? What things do people owe usually? And what do these people owe? Yes, Tammy?
Well, it seems like they were preparing a gift for the saints in Jerusalem, and they owed to the Jews their salvation, because mm-hmm. God grafted them in. They weren't part of the actual original olive tree. So
there's an owing of salvation spiritually, but also other things as well, so like money. Yeah, Sam.
We owe our neighbors to love them. It says
yes.
In Romans 12, owe no man anything mm-hmm. but to love one another.
That's right. So that's what we owe to people, not just simply money, but other things that we should help them. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, what does a partaker mean, and who are the spiritual things that partakers of? And he has in that. What does it mean? Spiritual things. And partakers of who is that, Tammy?
Partaker is one who takes part.
On who takes part as a partaker. And who do you think the partakers of their spiritual? Who the there? Yeah, just Sam.
Oh, Gentile believers are mm-hmm. partakers with Israel and the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
We got the scriptures and the Messiah through that nation.
Right.
And now we're partakers with them.
Partakers with them because of the Jews, the Lord Jesus from the Jewish line and our Messiah. Partakers of spiritual things. Their duty is what? Their duty is what? At 10?
Minister to their carnal things or their physical needs.
Physical needs to minister so the Gentiles can help the Jews. And then in verse 28, when therefore I have performed this, what do you think that this refers to? Any hands on that? Pastor Dan.
What he was wanting to perform, these clear duties before he comes to Spain, when he gets there finally.
All right. Any other comments on that? Yes, Dan?
Seems like he wants to bring a gift to the church in Jerusalem from them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, one of those things. When I've performed this and have sealed to them this fruit. And of course, the fruit is what again? What is the fruit? Hands on that. Sealed this fruit. At that?
Well, they're going to have fruit unto God because they're giving unto the Lord by giving to the saints in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing. This gift that the Gentiles are giving. Then he's going to come where? Where's he going to go after Pastor Dan?
To Spain.
To Spain. So Corinth or Rome rather, then to Spain. He has to pull around this little place. Rome is, where's Rome? Here's a card.
Pounded by the boot.
So you have to look at the lower map, though.
That's well, Rome.
You can see Rome in this.
Yeah, you can go up further, up more.
Down over here, I guess. But Rome, you go to my Rome store, he said, you're talking about people in Rome, and you're going to come to some of these other people in Spain.
Spain is down east. Or probably the west.
There's one Rome up here in this map.
Yeah.
Rome there in this map, and then down here you can also see Rome in this map.
In this map. In Spain.
And there's Spain is right here.
Well, so
here's
way over
Rome,
here.
Here's Spain.
So quite a distance away. So he'll go by in Spain and see these Christian believers in that particular church. So that's in verse 27, 28, and then 26 and 27. Onto Spain. Then in verse 28. We've read 27, 28, and then read 29 as well. When I come, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. What would that indicate to me? How is it going to come? The fullness of the blessings of the gospel. And Jill?
The entire gospel.
Okay. And what is the gospel? How would you define the gospel as defined in the Bible? Pastor Dan?
All men are sinners.
All men are sinners. That certainly is part of that gospel, isn't it? What's another part of that gospel? That's bad news, but it's just part of the gospel. Good news, yes, Tammy?
Christ died for all men.
Christ died for all mankind, men and women. Right? That's the next part of it. What is the next part? Christ died for all the sinners of the world. Yes, Tam?
Well, it seems to be summarized in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, I delivered that unto you, which I first received myself. Mm-hmm. That Christ died for our, the gospel, he says, mm-hmm. the gospel. Mm-hmm. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Right. That he was buried, that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures.
All right,
that
so.
Seems to be the gospel.
Yes, Tammy, what's more in addition to that?
Personal faith in the Lord Jesus.
That's made personal faith by the person.
For our sins.
That's faith, and part of that, even before that, is we must realize and recognize that I am a sinner. I did sin, and Christ then died for me.
There wouldn't be any personal faith in the offering of Christ for our sins if we don't recognize that we have sinned.
That's right. But the persons, that all people in this world realize that they're sinners. That's Jill.
I have to wait to add to that, even though that's the main part, what everybody said. Mm-hmm. As a result, though, I mean, he died for a reason. You know, he died for our sins, mm-hmm. but also he died so that we, as believers, whoever believes on him, will mm-hmm. See eternal life and be able to go home to be with him. Mm-hmm. This doesn't end at a certain part.
All right. Do all the people in the world think they're sinners? Any answer?
Not at first.
No, a lot of them say, I'm not. So who do I need? If you don't need, you're a sinner, you don't need anything for the Savior. Yes. So that's an important thing. And good news is that by trusting, by genuine faith in Him, knowing we're a sinner, you've got to trust Him with faith that He died for my sins. That's what gives us eternal life. So all that, the word gospel is used in many different ways, the four gospels and the different things, but the good news, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto what? Salvation? Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Then in verse number 29 again, having the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. So he's going to be in full blessings, not just partial. 27, 28, 29. All right, let's read verse 30, 31, and 32. To get 33, you might as well finish the whole chapter. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that
is together with me in
your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have in Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the word of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Right, verse 30.
Did we talk about 29?
Well, I thought we might. I'm sure that.
We did.
I will come with the fullness of the gospel of Christ. Yeah, we talked about the fullness of the gospel. We defined what the gospel was. And that's what, yeah. Then in verse number, we're finished with, we start with 30, right? What does beseech mean again? Beseech, Pastor Dan?
To beg, to implore, to earnestly make a case for.
All right, we don't use it too much anymore, but that's what it means. We earnestly inquire, ask you, brethren, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what else, what is the other purpose? What is the other purpose that he's asking them for? The Lord Jesus Christ, what else?
The love of the Spirit.
The love of the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. That, what does he request of these Christians at Rome in verse number 30? Yes, Tammy.
He's striving together with me, which indicates that the Apostle Paul himself was striving in prayers to God, and so he wanted them to strive with him in prayers for the work of God to be done.
Yes, Paul needed prayer, and he asked these Christians at Rome to pray for him. Strive, what does that mean exactly? Yes, Chip?
Well, I was looking at it. Now, I can't pronounce Greek properly, but it's a plural form of the word agonizomai.
Agonizomai, okay. Yes. Strive.
Agonize. It's where we get our word agonize. It means to struggle.
That's right, struggle very hard.
Talking about the fervent prayer of a righteous man that James writes about.
It's not easy. It's striving. It's work. And your prayers to God for me. And then verse 31. What does he want them to pray for in verse 31? First part of that verse. Any hands on that? Yes, Tammy.
From those that don't believe that are in Judea.
All right, those that delivered from them.
We know that they were the ones that ended up sending him. They wanted to kill him. That was how he ended up getting to Rome eventually. Because he was imploring them for appealing to Caesar. So.
Delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. So that would be a number of Jews and other people, the Gentiles. Why was Paul wanting the faith to be delivered? What were they going to do for him and to him, do you think? Yeah, Tammy?
There were 40 Jews that wanted to slay him. And what? They made a vow that they were not going to eat anything
until they killed him.
They killed him.
When did they get their next meal?
We don't know, but I don't think they died.
No, they didn't. They didn't keep their promise, did they? Liars, a little bit on the lying side. All right, that was their desire, but delivered from them that did not believe in Judea. So what's the second thing they wanted to pray for? Delivered, and then in verse 31. Any hands on that one? No, Paul, Sam.
That the Jewish believers would receive the gift from the Gentile believers.
All right. So that was very important. Together for your prayers to God for me to deliver in one thing, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Do all genuine Christians accept what other people do for them? No? Should they? They should be grateful. But he said that I pray that would be the case. Except on the saints. Yeah, but Anna.
Is this in reference to the monetary gift that he was delivering? Was that at a different time?
Well, what do you say? Anybody have an idea on that?
Looks like it.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Monetary gift. Accepted. About the saints now.
Oh, yeah.
What does the Roman Catholic Church say and define what saints are? And how do they get them? Pardon me?
Incorrectly.
They defined incorrectly. Uh-oh.
Here we go.
I'll see if I get my phone off before it hangs up. Always forget that we have it. Here, I got it. Yeah, Rob, from Chicago. Where, yeah, Rob?
Hi, Pastor. I just want to say hi to everyone enjoying the Bible study. And on this verse here, 30, he starts off, "Now I beseech you, brethren." And he talks back, striving together. And then as he goes on, almost all of chapter 16, he names all those who are striving together with him. Then it makes a change, right at verse 17, starts out just like verse
thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. That's Wave to Rob Winograd there in Chicago. Appreciate that. He brought up that verse, and I noticed a term we didn't discuss. In verse number 30, it says about those that are striving. Is it verse 30? Where is verse?
Strive together.
Is it verse 30?
Verse 30.
Oh, yeah. Striving together. Now, do some Christian churches interpret that a little bit differently? And how do they interpret it if they really are interpreting?
Fighting.
Striving together.
Arguing.
Bickering. Yeah, Anna?
Because we're not supposed to strive with each other, but we have the common spiritual opponent.
Right.
Satan and the world of flesh and the devil.
Right.
It's a spiritual struggle and fight alongside each other, not with each other.
Not with each other, as many churches do, many people.
Strive, yes, strive with one another, yeah. But not against one another.
Not against one another, that's right, absolutely.
Side by side.
Side by side. So that's 30, 31, let's see, delivered, accepted of the saints. Oh, yeah, saints. Oh, yeah. Now, what other definition does the Church of Rome have for saints, and how did they get that way? Any hands on that? Anybody know historically? Jill? Former Roman Catholic?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, they have to be canonized and go through a certain ritual in order to become a saint. Mm-hmm. And after a certain amount of years, a certain amount of time has to transpire before they're canonized for them to become a saint. Uh-huh. But they think that, contrary to what the Bible says, we become saints when we are in the kingdom of God, when we first receive the Lord as Jesus Christ as our Savior. Mm-hmm. They believe that anybody who's canonized as a saint, those people only, and not even their fellow "quote unquote" Catholics.
Mm-hmm. So it's a different definition, but yet Tammy.
Then they have to be dead.
Pardon me.
They have to be dead.
They have to be dead. That's right. Dead for so many years, I think. Yes. You know, there's something.
Yeah, so many years. Yeah.
Now, what does the Bible, King James Bible, as we use it, always what?
Sam. I was going to say the Roman Catholicism. Basically, all their doctrines are based on traditions of men,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they teach for doctrine rather than what the Bible, the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you were asking, what is a saint? And anyone that is a born-again believer that believes in Jesus Christ mm-hmm. is a saint.
That's right.
That's why every all the epistles are addressed to the saints
mm-hmm.
and the location that they were at. Right. And I think the word means holy ones or set-apart ones.
Yes.
Something like
that. I hear. That's right. That's Jill.
No, it's something just occurred to me. They elevate people who are dead.
Right.
And the reason why I say that is because not only do they canonize people and make them saints after they are dead, like they hold them on high mm-hmm. if they are dead, if and when they are dead,
right.
particular people, but they're encouraging their people to pray to the dead
yes.
instead of to the Lord Jesus Christ. So
exactly.
they're elevating dead people instead of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Who died and rose
yeah.
again. Ever liveth.
Yeah, life through, yes.
To make it. That's interesting. And so, also talk about the saints making up their own story. Like in Easter, today being called Easter, Astarte and all these other, the Roman Catholic Church has made all kinds of nonsense out of this thing. They're the ones who are the originators of it, and one of those comments in the back that say that the historical Catholicism has just put this whole thing into our whole system. And we're following blindly the Church of Rome mm-hmm. the way we celebrate Easter. The way they
yep.
celebrate it.
Amen.
Astarte is a false god. Right. So that's in chapter 30, 4 to 15, verse 30. The Lord Jesus striving together and delivered from, accepted of the saints, those genuine Christians. Then, when verse 32, what does Paul want to include in the. Oh, go ahead, Pastor Dan, first.
The scripture says, when you want to die, it's a judgment. So. The false doctrine of the sainthood of the pagan institution of Rome
mm-hmm.
is incorrect. I mean, man has to become a saint before he dies,
right?
And not after he dies,
right? Absolutely. Time sequence is wrong the other way.
Men and women as well.
Men and women, that's right.
Humanity.
Mankind, humanity, that's right. Now, what is also in verse 32 another item of his prayer request?
Maybe 31.
Is it
31?
32.
32, yeah, 32. The first one is that he be delivered and his service be accepted of the saint. But 32, what's another element of his prayer request? And he has that, yes, Sam.
That he may come unto them with joy by the will of God and be refreshed.
All right. What do you think, what would he come to if he wasn't with joy? Do all genuine Christians manifest joy at all times? Are they able to have the joy of the Lord?
Yeah,
what is one of the what is one of the fruit of the Spirit? Joy. One of the fruit. Yes, Sam.
And that the Bible also says the joy of the Lord is your strength.
That's right. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, I forgot. I should leave this out. Don't try to get it by my belt. Oh, I've lost it. Let's see if I can get. No. That's Jacob, wasn't it? Let me get him back. Call back, Jacob. I missed you. Sorry. I'll put this right out here. Let me get off the belt. You know, we're good in time. All right, so those are the things that the prayer that come to you with joy by the will of God. Now, when people have a joyous look on their face, does that mean necessarily they have inner joy? Oh, yeah, Jill?
No, not all the time. I mean, every once in a blue moon, you might have somebody who, different times, somebody might pretend that they're happy, even though they're sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll admit, since my husband died like 8.5 months ago, I know it's a wrong thing. However, I mean, the fact is that your emotions go up and down, and you can have that happen very easily to you.
Uh-huh. That's right. I'll continue that relationship. Yeah, Jacob, go right ahead. Jacob and Gail.
Hey, Pastor Wayne. Me and the mama say fine Sunday morning to y'all and God's blessings.
Thank you, Jacob. Let's wave to Jacob and Gail Gromer there in Texas. Appreciate that.
Afternoon here. Yeah, so I think it's probably also afternoon there.
Now, let me ask you this. When people take pictures of one another, what is the usual expression of the ones they're taking pictures of?
Smiling.
Does that necessarily mean there's joy in their heart? Sam, the pastor today.
I learned that the secret to true joy is J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last.
That's right. Pastor Dan.
Here in Prentford, you say, in the United States, they say cheese.
Yeah.
In Israel, they say shalom.
Shalom.
They get some of the smile, you know. That's shalom.
Jeez. As Sam quoted, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength from the joy of the Lord. But some Christians, I'm sorry to say, don't look too joyous and probably aren't too joyous. I don't know. But yes, Sam?
Well, a lot of times, unfortunately, I know from experience, you know, when you're not doing what the Lord wants, your joy is gone.
Yes, that's true.
And like David prayed, you know, when you repent to the Lord,
uh-huh.
He says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Yes, restore, that's right. Yeah, Jacob and Gail again. Go ahead, Jacob from Texas.
Oh, Pastor Wade,
yes.
That thing we're talking about with these saints, these Catholic saints, and the thing about them, you know, being dead.
Yes.
Yeah, the necromancy here in Deuteronomy 18:11, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. But in the verse before that, an observer of times, and I believe this is what's over here in Isaiah 47:13? Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon me. Anyway, I don't think they realize what they're playing with here is really Babylonian devil worship. It's Sumerian, Babylonian.
Yes.
It's not good. Egyptian. It's really bad.
Very good. Thank you, Jane. Jacob, Lord bless you. Take a say hello, wave to him over there in Texas. And Mr. Gromer, yeah, Gromer, absolutely. All right, so we've taken 31, accepted of the saints. Then in verse 32, with joy, we got that in. What does the next phrase indicate? By the will of God. And how does that, oh, Pastor Dan, go ahead first.
That is Judea in the present-day West Bank. Is that correct or not?
Yes.
Judea and the West Bank, okay?
Judea. It's more than that.
Judea. Well, I mean, it's maybe it's part of it, or
it's the Latin name for Judah, I think.
Yes, it is. You're right. It is Latin name.
Judea.
So it's greater than that, then.
I mean, it overlaps somewhat. It's not a perfect. It would be Judah
so,
and Benjamin.
Judah
maybe.
And Samaria.
Judah and Benjamin.
Benjamin, Samaria. Okay. What, having dispensed with that? Joy by the will of God. Now, where is the will of God to be found in this phrase, joy by the will of God? Where is the will of God found? Any hands on that? Any hands on that? Sam's got the answer. She's not saying a word, but she's raising up her Bible. That's where the will of God is found. Do all Christian believers want to find out exactly what the will of God is?
They should.
But it's sad. But it's in the Scriptures. Not that every word of the Scripture is the will of God, but in the Scriptures it contains God's will for those who are willing to follow. That's Sam.
I think what Paul is saying here in verse 32 about he wants to do these things by the will of God is he's referring to what James said in chapter 4 when he says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." And then you skip down a little bit, and he says, "You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Mm-hmm. I think that's what Paul's saying
there. Now, the Lord is not always willing to do what we're wanting to do, is he? The Lord does not want all the things that we want. There's got to be in his will. Nail it down in the Scripture. We know that's a Scripture for his will. We don't know all the things. In other words, there's some other things that are not in the Scripture necessarily, but we can understand what his will is for us to do in our ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. All Christians have a ministry. It should be in God's will. And if we don't find it exactly nailed down in the Bible, we still have other principles, similarities in the Bible that we can go on. So analogies. All right, so verse 32, will of God, and may with you be refreshed. With you be refreshed. What does refreshing mean here? And with you, what does that mean? Be refreshed. Yeah, Jill.
Revived.
Could be revived. What else? Yeah, Sam, Tammy?
Encouraged to build up.
Encouraged? What are they like when they need to be refreshed? What is their condition when they're non-refreshed? Yeah, Tammy?
Well, sometimes they want something to drink.
They're thirsty, that's right. And sometimes they're really sad and discouraged. Refreshed. Well, can one, to Anna.
Well, he's asking to come unto them with joy, so already having joy, but then further refreshed by being with them.
Uh-huh.
And then perhaps the with you be refreshed, maybe that has, like, he's not just going to be refreshed by them, but he also will refresh them. Right?
Yes.
The presence,
yes.
So they're all going to be refreshed.
May you with you. Now, are some genuine Christians more refreshing than others?
Amen.
Are some other Christians non-refreshers? Well, anyway, but by the will of God, we've got to be cheerful and help others be refreshed. Like a nice cold water, a drink of water, different thing, refreshing, whatever it is, it helps in that. With you, both of them. And then in verse 33, what is God's title here? God of peace. How would that be understood? Any hands on that? The God of peace. Yeah, Tam?
In a way, it's indescribable. Mm-hmm. But what we can describe is that, first of all, we're at war with God until we repent and believe in him. Then we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then we have the peace of God, which passeth knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
When things can happen, then you can still have peace if we have enough faith, because we know all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose.
Right.
But, peace of God.
Hannah.
Proverbs 25:25, as cool waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country.
Very good. And also, yes, to Tammy.
God is a source of peace.
Yes. Let's all say Romans 5:1. Therefore,
being
justified by faith,
we
have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful peace. What if we don't? Do you have what, Anna?
Oh, we were talking earlier about joy being one of the fruits of the Spirit, and peace also is one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes, it is. Joy. Mm-hmm. Let's say them all together. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no war. No harm. Now, the peace that people do not have, they're not justified by faith. They don't have peace with God. What is their condition before God? If they don't have peace, what do they have, Joe?
Well, first and foremost, primarily they're unsaved. They're going to hell. They don't accept Him as their Lord and Savior. But while they're on earth, just my witnessing subjectively, these people who are just walking around or unsaved, they tend to be more quarrelsome with each other. They tend to blame people for things that they should be getting right with themselves.
Yes.
You know, they look at the world like, look at this problem, look at that problem, instead of doing something about their own condition.
Yes.
Their own spiritual condition, which they think is fine, even though it's not.
Yes. Yeah, Sam.
I was looking for something else, but just want to read a couple of sentences. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
The increase in his government and peace, there shall be no end.
Yes.
That will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted the name.
Yeah.
What I was looking for, because you mentioned the wicked,
yes.
I can't find it, but it says, there is no peace to the wicked, saith my God.
That's right, no peace to the wicked. Absolutely. So that's the God of peace be with you all. So that's Paul's prayer for the believers, Christians there in Rome. Any other comments or questions on chapter 15 before we move on to 16? If not, let's read 16, 1, 2, and 3. Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Let's read 1, 2, and 3. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae, that she receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that she assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been to her of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. All right, verse number 1. Commend means what? He hands out. I commend. That's it?
Recommend.
Okay. Recommend. See, if I touch any part of other body, I see him and I call him. All right, go ahead.
And then commend, it has maybe an idea of giving over the care of I commend. It's a recommendation, yes, but it's also saying, look after her, take care of her while she's there.
That's good.
Where it says, I commend you to God, one of the final prayers of the Apostle Paul, I commend you to God. He's committing them to the care of God. Maybe in that sense.
All right. Is commendation the same as condemnation?
No.
No, the opposite. What's the opposite? Condemnation. But I commend you. Phoebe, our sister, what case, what sense is it, her sister? What sense is Phoebe, Paul's sister, Joe?
Sister in Christ.
Sister in Christ. So we have brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a spiritual Christian, isn't it? Christian, a sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae. Now, what would be a servant of the church? What kind of work would a servant of the church do? Joe.
Well, she puts herself before the church instead of, when we're looking at joy, Jesus, others,
and yourself.
Putting others before yourself, putting Jesus and others in order before yourself.
So she was a servant of the church. Now, does this type of a servant get paid, do you think? No, probably not. The people that serve and help one another to get paid in the regular churches. They don't get paid either. But servant of the church, secretary. Then in verse 2, what does Paul want them to do with this? Well,
I just wanted to say that even though God forbids women to hold church office, this shows that women can be greatly used by God to serve the church and to serve Him there.
Does everyone agree in this world that women should not be preachers, for example? Does everyone agree?
No.
What do they...
Maybe everyone in this room.
Everyone in the world. What do they do with women preachers? And how many churches have women preachers? Yeah. What's the situation? Is it growing or going lesser and less? Women preachers. Any ideas on that? Yeah, Sam?
Yeah, I did an estimate for a woman a couple of weeks ago for Asphalt. Uh-huh. And on her website, she has the title Apostle and Pastor for herself.
Oh, is that right? Apostle and Pastor, yes. Yeah. Different, yes, Jill.
One time I called the church inquiring about how they were with church, what have you, with the church. Mm-hmm. I thought it was Second Baptist Church in Morristown. Mm-hmm. And a lady answered the phone. Her name was Deaconette.
Deaconette.
What's her name? She said Deaconette Lovelace. That's what her name was.
Now, let me ask you a second question. Oh, go ahead, Diana first, and I'll get the second question later.
Great. I think it sometimes is confused because the wife of a deacon is sometimes called a deaconess or whatever, uh-huh. which is, and then they might not be the same as a deacon, but then if people use that term, then it just causes confusion, mm-hmm. perhaps. And then sometimes they do or have, think they are deacons. Whatever, never mind.
Well, while we're on that subject, before Sam gets his question answered, are there women deacons in these various churches?
Yes.
And should they be women deacons? No, not again. See, they had 7 men. Remember in chapter 7 of Acts, 7 men with different conditions, but they're all men, everyone. Now, Sam,
I think that titles in general, you know, people insisting on having the title before the name goes against mm-hmm. the spirit of Christianity yes. and the teachings of Christ. You know, mm-hmm. he said, be not called master or rabbi right. or father.
Yeah.
It's not that calling someone these things is bad, because mm-hmm. Paul writes that
right.
that he's a father to Timothy in the faith.
Right, right.
But it's the insisting on having these titles. Mm-hmm. You know, it should say on the pastor's office, slave. Mm-hmm. I've heard some pastors say
yes.
before. Said it should say slave above my door.
Yeah. Right. Anna, got something, Anna?
I thought I already said what I said.
Pardon?
I'm just having trouble balancing everything.
Oh, you do have something or don't?
No.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, going on to the deacons. Talk about deacons. Should deacons be single?
No.
No. It says a husband of one wife. And yes.
They should also, I want to cite something. That could happen at some churches, probably not all of them, of course, but mm-hmm. there are some churches, I know a church that Albert and I used to attend, mm-hmm. where, you know, the deacon and everybody else just took over and got the pastor and forced the pastor out, and the deacon became the pastor, and the deacon yeah. thought he was higher than the pastor, and then the yeah. deacon was just rejecting all these very, very fine men that came in there,
yes.
and it was kind of, they were, after a while, calling the church family run business, because the family yeah. ran it, and they didn't let the pastor do it, or really, in actuality, God.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they were all trying to run it and go above the pastor's head.
Right. A lot of churches have deacon run, which is horrible. It's not scriptural. I remember Bethel Baptist Church, where we used to be members 10 years or so, and Pastor, what's his last name?
Algina.
Pastor Eric, what's his first name? Eric?
Carl
Algina, tremendous preacher. When he left, the Sunday before he left, he had a little thing to say about the deacons. Very, very refreshing. He said, no, this is the men didn't want to say too much. So he really, but we commend you to the Lord, we're leaving it. But he told the truth by those that pushed him out of that church. And these deacons. We were there, members, we knew all the deacons and what their names were. They wanted to run that church. And they came up with another pastor. I don't know if it was the next pastor, second pastor, or third pastor. And that pastor didn't want to be run. And so many of the deacons left because they couldn't run this guy who was a pastor. Anyhow, we talked about assisting the church. That was verse 2, wasn't it? Verse 2. That she assist her in whatever business she hath need of you. What do you think? What sort of help should she need as a helper in that local church, you think? Anna?
I suppose that it sounds like, she's visiting Rome, visiting the believers in Rome, mm-hmm. and so probably she might not have a lot of money to stay somewhere, so that mm-hmm. maybe they'll let her stay at someone will let her stay at their house and their feed her, and if she needs new clothes or something,
yes,
if clothes are worn out from the journey, maybe they'll help her with that too.
Yes, so Paul is encouraging them to help this woman because in the past she has been a succorer of many. What does that mean? Succorer. Tammy?
A helper.
A helper. A good big word for it, but that means a strong helper of many, not just a few. And of myself also. In other words, Paul himself was helped by this dear lady named what? What's her name?
Phoebe.
Phoebe. All right, Phoebe. So, now, what else are they doing? Oh, excuse me, Anna.
So it seems like Phoebe is just mentioned, not any husband or anything. So I wonder if maybe she wasn't married or
could be.
Whatever. I mean, we don't. It doesn't really say.
Doesn't say, does
That's
it?
That's why I don't know if she came to Rome by herself or with someone else. But it just mentions.
Leaves it up in the air, doesn't it? Married or widow or whatever, not married. And then, who are they to greet? What are the people that church Christians are going to greet in verse 3? Who are they to greet at verse 3? Any hands on that? Yeah, Tammy?
Priscilla and Aquila.
Priscilla and Aquila. Now, we learn from other scriptures about them, don't we? What is true of Priscilla and Aquila? Go ahead, Sam.
Well, let's see here. Looks like they're from Italy.
All right.
Okay. Born in Pontus. Lately come from Italy in Acts chapter 18 there. Then I think who was the Jewish guy that was mighty in the scriptures who expounded the way?
Apollos.
Yeah. He put them on the right path, expounded more clearly the way of the Lord.
Right.
They put him on the right
path.
Right.
Oh, yes, thank you.
He was the one that was mixed up.
You're right. Right. You're right.
That's good.
And they had a church in their house. That's right.
Church
in their
house. Our house church is scriptural.
Amen.
Was there only one that was a church in your house?
No.
At least four or five, anyway. I don't know exactly how many. That's why we're no problem with a church in our house. Tammy.
I think they were Jewish, of Jewish descent. And I think it says that they laid down their necks for the Apostle Paul. I think that's how he described them.
That's right. So they're very faithful, Priscilla and Aquila.
Oh, that's what it says in the next verse, but I wasn't listening.
That's right. My helpers in Christ Jesus. So, do you think everybody helped Paul? Paul?
No.
But she was a helper. So it's great. Yes, go ahead.
I told you, churches in your house and their house. Yes. It's biblical. It's in the scripture. But I mean, every once in a blue light, whether I'm sharing church and saying you should come, like maybe inviting certain people to church, whatever, certain people who don't really know their Bible or whatever.
Right.
I say, oh yeah. He said, oh, where's this church? Oh, it's in Collinswood. Oh, what's the address? I said, 900 Porter Avenue. It's in the pastor's house. In his house? Oh, I never heard of that before.
Screwy.
That's interesting. Because they don't know better. They have no idea it's in the scripture. I said, well, it's scripture. It's found in scripture. And then I might cite the scripture and everything, you know?
That's right. Now, do churches that are huge, huge churches generally have solid, solid, strong, strong Christians, all of them 100%? Are there some, or quite a few, that are not too strong? What do you think? Hands on that, Sam?
Oh, it's just, these are buildings.
Yes.
This is a building.
Right.
And that's a building across the street.
Right.
The church are believers in Jesus Christ.
That's right. And so very important, Anna, and that's Tammy.
So we see Chancria mentioned in Acts 18:18, and Paul, after this, tarried there, a good while. That, if you look early in the context, that's referring to Corinth, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Chancria, for he had a vow. And then I was looking up online, and it seems like Chancria is very close to Corinth, or a port of Corinth, or like a suburb of Corinth or something.
It's Corinth, so Chancria, somewhere there, yes.
So she went from Corinth to Rome. So she traveled over the Aegean Sea, I guess.
Yes. The Aegean Sea, right. No, let's read them 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, Dan. Like, you know, you were talking about church buildings versus mm-hmm. churches meeting the people.
Right.
And, you know, when the you know, Notre Dame burned, you know, it was, like, devastating to many people because mm-hmm. they're worshiping what man made mm-hmm. rather than what God has done.
Right.
And God, His work is in the hearts of men.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Anna.
I don't think any people were injured in the fire, so that it should be a good thing that no people were affected, but mm-hmm. And there seems to be much concern about the building itself.
Right. Many people are saying what happened, so this cause of something accidental, but I read several articles, and they're pretty solid evidence of arson, mm-hmm. and probably the Ishmaelites and ISIS did the job. Yeah,
it's likely the majority of the people that entered that building aren't part of the church.
Right. It's not all.
There may be maybe a very small percentage that might be part of the church, but the majority of them are not.
Right. Absolutely. That's Tammy.
Wasn't there an agreement that was made just in the last like 2 or 3 days since that happened? With the Pope and some Muslim leaders?
No, I thought that was before it happened.
Oh, I thought it was after.
Maybe before, yeah. Pope says, let's get together with all the Muslims. Got to get joined together.
Sam and then Jill.
You're asking about this, you know, differences between big congregations and small ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Lord made it clear in Matthew 7 that the broad way leadeth to destruction, and many go in there at.
Right.
And the narrow way leads to life. And if you look at the context of that,
yeah.
It's not saying that the broad way is all the false religions in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's among those that name the name of Christ,
mm-hmm.
there is a narrow way, because they call Him Lord, Lord. We did this in Your name, and this in Your name, and this in Your name. So these are people that claim to be Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And that among that group is a narrow way that leads to life.
Says, Anna.
In the first century, the church was at Jerusalem. It was kept growing, and there were thousands. But then the Lord had to scatter them, I guess, maybe because they were spending so much time together, and maybe they weren't being as effective as they could have been in Misham. I mean, yes, they were growing, but they had to go to the other part of the world and not just stay in Jerusalem. So they were scattered so that they could go and.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jill.
Anna was referring to before about the Muslims and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little while before that church burned down. Heard something where the Pope was accepting Muslim prayers and whatnot into the Vatican.
That's it. He wants to hobnob on and socialize
them. Story on that.
That Pope is one of the worst popes I've ever had. According to Catholics, no, I don't know anything about that. But that's what they say.
Another thing I want to add, not so much to that, but to another subject.
Yeah.
Well, regarding the Notre Dame building and everything. I saw another story where, I mean, and they didn't say this part, but we know that that's a false idol, that building. It's a man-made building,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it's so archaic and this and that, and ornate and whatever. People are grieving it had been destroyed. The building had burned down or was burning down. But I saw a picture, and one of the few things that were standing in there was the cross.
Really?
Yeah, that wasn't destroyed at all. It's,
that was still standing.
Still standing, yeah.
Anna.
As long as we brought that up, I'd like to point out that it was an empty cross.
It
wasn't a crucifix. It was an empty cross.
That's interesting.
Because Christ is no longer on the cross. But the Catholics, a lot of times, they keep Him on the cross. They crucify Him over and over.
Mm-hmm.
But He died once for all.
That's
so we have an empty cross and an empty tomb.
Yes. Amen.
It was added later. I don't know. Because they always have... crucifixes. They don't have.
Yeah,
but
I know.
It was an empty cross. I saw
surprised
the picture.
That it was empty.
It was. That's right. I saw the picture.
Yeah, I saw the picture too, Jill, but I'm not sure if it was added later in the picture or added later in person or what happened.
And what they're talking about.
I'm surprised that they had an empty cross.
What they're talking about in the same city, we're going to build the whole thing up. one more year, we'll fix it all again. Okay. What if we destroy it again?
The president was saying,
oh, was it 5 years? Okay.
The president of France was saying, I vow to do this, and I vow to build it. I'm going to build
it. What kind of crackpots are they? All that billions and billions of dollars for 5 or 10 years, destroy it again.
Well, meanwhile, the Vatican has more money and riches probably than most institutions in the world.
Yes.
While, you know, millions of children starving all over the world.
Right.
And making a big fuss about this building with gargoyles on it. Meanwhile, kind of like the Pharisees, you quoted Matthew 23, right? They're making the outside all clean.
Yes.
But no real no real goodness, you know, doing the right thing with the money.
Let's go and read verses 4, 5, and 6 together. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia and of Christ. Greet Mary, who was doing much labor upon us. In verse 4, what does the who refer to here? What does the who refer back to? Who's the who? Verse 4.
Priscilla and Aquila.
What is it? Priscilla and Aquila. Notice, what happened to them? What happened to Priscilla and Aquila according to verse 4? And Tammy?
They were servants to Paul.
Paul, what else happened to them?
Tammy quoted earlier, they laid down their necks for Paul, for his life. You know, they stuck up for him apparently in some dramatic way. They put their necks on the line for him.
Laid down their own necks for my life. It's amazing. They loved Paul to help them, whom not only I give thanks, but who else? Who else? Yeah, Tammy?
The churches of the Gentiles, those would be the churches that Paul started.
So just a minute, these two, Priscilla and Aquila, I've forgotten about that, that for my sake laid down their own necks. So then in verse number 5, who is greeted here? Who is greeted in verse 5? Yes, Tam?
Epaphras.
Verse 5, okay. And before Epaphras, who's greeted?
The church.
Okay. Where is that church?
Aquila and Priscilla's
home. Is that the church, that big cathedral?
No, it's in their home.
Their home. Now, there's a nice house church. As I say, we said earlier, the woman that Jill talked about, they didn't like church in the house. What's a church doing in the house? I think I got 4, 5, or 6 different church in the homes, or in this Bible, New Testament. So there's nothing against it. As I told many times before, we were not too pleased with the church we were attending. It was a Baptist church, so on and so forth. But every time the preacher would get up, and it was one of the holidays, and you're going to say the same thing. So I said, honey, what about, I've been trained for the ministry. I've been in there 5 years in school, and chaplaincy, and everything. Why not start a church? Would you? What about in our house? And she said, no, I want all the arrangements of the house. This is the whole living room, the dining room. We wouldn't be a church. But she said, yes, as the Lord leads, so we began. But it's interesting. That's very small. That's very tiny. I'm so glad that Pastor Dan, with his skill, has been able to turn these services all over the world with internet. It's amazing. He asked me several times before, Dan, what about this? I didn't know anything about it. I said, well, I don't think so. Finally, he won. And so we have a ministry. And we send it all over the world, the ministry that we have. It's there. People they listen to it. They can go back. But in a church in the house. But even if you couldn't have an internet, still, if it's the will of the Lord to have a church in the house. Now, there's one article I read just last week. I don't remember the city. I think it's in China. And they're looking for everybody that's in charge of a church in their house. Look for them, probably kill them and kill the church and so on. That's interesting. House churches in China now are being looked at. They may look at it like what they did one time. They took us down and this last word, and this sign is Bible for Today Baptist Church. Look at that sign over there on the wall. Bible for Today Baptist. No church, because this city is ready to close us down. See, we've got enemies all around us. And that zone for this and zone for that. What about that church over there? We've got all kinds of people that park up all down this street and the other street. Nobody can park anywhere. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, they can do whatever they want because Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Amen. So that's good. And so poor Priscilla and Aquila lay down their necks for our sake. It's amazing. Greet them and all the churches of the Gentiles. Then in verse number 5, greet also the church that is in their house. Who's the there referred to there?
Aquila and Priscilla.
Aquila and Priscilla. But if they lay down their lives, do they still have a house church? I don't understand what that means. The former house that they used to live in?
No, they're still alive. They were sacrificing themselves.
Lay down their necks. You don't think that they didn't die? Is that what you're saying?
No. Greet them. How can they greet them if they're not still alive?
They just put their lives on the line for Paul in the past, apparently. Yes.
They weren't martyred yet, but they might have been later. Lay down their necks rather than their lives. Whoops.
In verse 3, it says greet and Priscilla and Aquila.
You're right. So you can't greet dead people.
That's right. Only if you're Catholic.
Only if you're Catholic. That's
sorry.
Right. That's
sorry.
Right. That's right.
Sorry.
You
came okay. up from earlier. The flesh.
Let's stop right here at verse 5. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close today? Any of these verses we've covered? We'll pick this up.
We didn't get any emails.
We didn't get anybody calling.
No email. We got two calls.
Oh, we got two calls, yeah. No email, two calls. Any other comments or questions? Glad to have Sam and his wife and two children with us. Yes,
yes, just like Paul did, I thank God for this house church and for this ministry that touches the world and for your ministry that has defended the King James Bible. I'm very thankful for it. I think it's very important. And, you know, I pray for you guys.
Well, thank you for your prayer, Sam and Aaron, Karen also. But, Pastor Dick, you want to close? Sam, why don't you close in words, brother?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this privilege to worship you. Thank you so much for dying for our sins, Lord, yes. And giving us eternal life. Thank you so much for the Word of God, Lord, and that we still can gather together like this. I do pray again that you will continue to strengthen Pastor Waite, spirit, soul, and body, that he might continue to preach the Word of God and continue to send out Defying King James Bibles, Lord. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for all that you are and do. Please give us all safety now as we leave here and travel. Please bring us back again together as you see fit. We love you and thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it.